Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, October 4th. From a Colorado Department of Transportation press release, U.S. Highway 550 Red Mountain Pass will be closed near the Ruby Walls area about 3 miles south of Ouray for extended lengths of time on 3 separate days next week. The long closures on Monday and Tuesday are required for utility crews to lower an electrical power line in advance of crews repairing the existing netting and installation of a new, larger fencing system. Thursday's closures are related to the contractor's utilization of a helicopter to lift construction equipment to the Ruby Walls slope. North and southbound traffic on US 550 will be closed for 4 hours in the morning and for 4 hours in the afternoon. A one-hour window at noon will allow a window of opportunity to travel through the work zone. Those closure dates and times are Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, October 8th, 9th, and 11th, from 8 a.m. to noon and from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. The one-hour window to move through the work zone will be from noon to 1 p.m. on those days. The target completion date is November 1st, with a goal to finish the work before significant snow begins to fall. As a result, inclement weather may impact the duration of the project. A mountain climber from Telluride made history. Hillary Nelson was one of two American climbers who successfully skied down the summit of the world's fourth highest mountain. Nelson and James Morrison of Tahoe, California, scaled Mount Lhotse, a 27,940-foot mountain that is sister to Mount Everest, with two other climbers and three Sherpa guides. The climbers then skied back to base camp. It is believed to be the first time climbers skied down the mountain. Oregon activists were in western Colorado last week, protesting the proposed Jordan Cove liquefied natural gas plant and Pacific Connector pipeline. But what does Western Colorado have to do with a project in Oregon? KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh has this report.
I just want you to not get your hopes up that all this extra gas that you're drilling for is going to go to Asia, because we're there and it's not going to happen. Thank you.
That's Frances Etherington speaking at the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission meeting in Rifle last month. Unlike most citizens at the meeting, Etherington is not from Colorado. She's a landowner from Oregon. She told KDNK that her property is in the path of the proposed Pacific Connector pipeline that would take fracked natural gas from western Colorado across southern Oregon to a proposed natural gas liquefaction plant in Coos Bay.
And in order to get the gas there, they have to bring it from the end of the Ruby Pipeline near a place called Klamath Falls, Oregon, and build this pipeline 230 miles across southern Oregon.
Etherington said the pipeline would cross 160 miles of private land in her home state, including 8 acres in back of her house.
We live right next to some BLM old growth forest with a spotted owl living right next to us. It's called an owl activity center. They have to do a 100-foot wide clear cut through these forests across the entire southern Oregon.
Etherington visited Paonia and Battlement Mesa as part of the Jordan Cove Rocky Mountain to Pacific Coast Project, brainchild of Oregon activist Alex Budd and Colorado organizer Pete Kolbenschlag. Alex Budd told KDNK the project was a tour of West Slope communities facing natural gas extraction and Oregon communities along the pipeline route.
Hopefully this is the beginning of kind of a new phase of more awareness in both of our respective communities about our interconnectedness, but also a more collaborative process.
The Jordan Cove LNG plant and the Pacific Connector pipeline would export to Asia nearly 8 million metric tons of natural gas from western Colorado and Canada. But the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, denied the pipeline permit in March 2016. According to FERC documents, the project owner Canadian company Verizon basically failed to show enough Asian markets for the gas to justify taking land along the pipeline route by eminent domain. Verizon immediately called for a new hearing, But in December 2016, FERC also denied that request. In January 2017, another Canadian company, Pembina Pipeline Corporation, resurrected the project with plans to go online in 2024, citing a preliminary agreement with Jericho, Japan's leading natural gas importer. Again, Alex Budd.
And that same month, the Trump administration officials said one of the first things we want to do is export natural gas, fracked gas, in the Northwest. And when asked for clarification, they said they were talking about Jordan Cove.
But Akos Loesch, senior research associate with the Columbia University Center on Global Energy Policy, says that a preliminary agreement is not a contract.
We are serious about this. We want to do business together, but there is no legal enforceability behind that.
Despite Pembina's claims, JERA plans to cut 42% of its natural gas imports by 2030. Loesch says there's a lot of uncertainty in Japanese natural gas markets. Buyers are reluctant to make long-term commitments. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper and Congressman Scott Tipton favor Jordan Cove and the pipeline. At a House Natural Resources Committee meeting in Grand Junction in June, Tipton said the project would boost Western Colorado's economy and create a bridge between boom and bust cycles common to oil and gas exploration. But Loesch doubts that Jordan Cove will come online in 2024 as planned.
They are expecting the FERC approval by the end of 2019. So, you know, that leaves them 4 or 5 years for construction. And Jordan Cove is a greenfield project, so you'll have to develop it from the ground up. There is no existing infrastructure in place. And you also have to build this pipeline in the face of strong local opposition. All of these factors can eventually lead to delays and cost overruns.
And the current tariff war between China and the U.S. could make trouble for new LNG export projects. Oil Change International, a global energy watchdog group, says the Jordan Cove project, from extraction to export, would add close to 37 million metric tons of CO2 to Earth's atmosphere per year.
The only people that want this terminal are Jordan Cove and the fossil fuel industry and our communities that are, you know, on the front lines and being directly impacted, whether here in Battlement Mesa with fracking here or, you know, in Coos Bay with the Jordan Cove terminal or the pipeline. We don't actually want this.
Bud says he hopes the tour will help citizens fighting natural gas drilling in the North Fork Valley and Battlement Mesa know that they're supported. For KDNK, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, October 4th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.